Suzanne Summers, thank you for coming in again.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me again.
Always great to see you.
It's once a year, whether you're in the mood or not.
And we're always in the mood. We are. Your new book is entitled Bombshell, and indeed, you are a bombshell. You're a gorgeous blonde woman.
And why not?
The book, though, is about more than just that. Tell me where it takes off from there.
You know, I was trying to come up with a name because I kept thinking there's so much explosive information in this book. Oh, my gosh, what people, these doctors and scientists and professionals were telling me. And in my sleep, it came to me. Call it Bombshell. I woke my husband up in the middle of the night. I said, I got it. Huh? I said, Bombshell. So maybe I have some guides or something because I seem to come up with these one-name titles. But anyway, this is a bombshell.
And it is about sort of the leading things to help us age beautifully and wonderfully, and also your own experience with the stem cell regeneration of,
right.
of stem tissue with stem cells. And this is really leading edge stuff, isn't it?
It is. I turned 65 this year, and I thought to myself, it's very interesting. When I was a kid, people who were 65 either retired or died, and I'm so nowhere near that. And I've really gone after my health for the last 12 years in the most respectful way. Cancer was such a gift for me because it forced me to change my life. I remember thinking, what have I done to play host to this disease? And I thought over my life, I thought I ate well, but really working on television series for so many years, they have the craft table out, which is really should be called the crap table, all the chemicaled food that you don't think of, and I wasn't cognizant of chemicaled food at that time, and wasn't managing my stress, wasn't taking sleep seriously. I had no awareness of toxicity, and so it was just a lot of layers that led to my cancer, violent childhood, all those things. I think everything plays into effect. And so I decided I was going to eat as though my life depended on it from that moment on, and I do. And I eat great. I eat butter, cream, sour cream, olive oil, full-fat cream cheese, all real food, organic. I eat, if I eat beef, I eat grass-fed. I eat all real food. I eat all real fats. I do not eat chemicals. I'd rather starve than eat chemicals. In fact, I just had a bowl of soup that my husband got me, ran into. He comes here and he craves pastrami sandwiches. It's interesting. I ate like half the soup and I could tell that they had that chemical bouillon in it. And then I started thinking about the chicken wasn't organic. And is it psychosomatic or do I have the beginnings of a little bit of a headache? I'm sure it's psychosomatic. But anyway, I have such a cognizance about it that I get upset when I eat food that isn't good quality food. Now, what is interesting to me is that I look at myself as the new face of the matriarch, that aging is changing, but you have to put effort into it to be able to adapt what is available for us to do. First and foremost, bioidentical hormones. You've got a great doctor here in Toronto, Dr. Turner. You've got two doctors here. Dr. Petal also is very good. The bioidentical hormones are the juice of youth. That's what feeds your organs and glands. Why, when you're young, do you not get the diseases of aging? Because you're making a full complement of hormones. So we go into hormones quite considerably in this book. But the big bombshell was this Dr. Abraham Morgenthaler called me. He's on the faculty at Harvard. And he said, I've got a study that I think you'd be really interested in. He said, I feel that you can get the word out better than we can out of Harvard. I said, really? Let me turn on my recorder. He said, the study we just finished is that men with prostate cancer, active prostate cancer, when we give them testosterone, natural bioidentical testosterone, their cancer regresses. That is so huge because now if a man's prostate enlarges, the first thing they want to do is take that prostate out and then put them on that injectable drug that's $3,000 a shot, which you have to get quite a few of them, which puts the man into essentially into menopause. He gets man boobs. He gets menopausal headaches, migraines, night sweats, hot flashes, inability to sleep, all the things that happen to women when they are hormonally imbalanced. And it's kind of a ruiner of the quality of life. Imagine now, because this is coming from such a mainstream source, that this can change the landscape of how men are treated. I think that's a huge bombshell that's in there. But there's so much more.
The stem cell is pretty awesome. And now you've gone through that as sort of a pioneer, haven't you?
I am the first woman in the United States to legally regrow her breast using her own stem cells. And I had heard about a doctor in Japan, Dr. Kataro Yoshimura, who was doing this procedure. He had regrown the breasts of over 400 Japanese women. And successfully, so I brought him over to America, put him together with an American surgeon. We applied for the clinical trial. It took 3 years to get the clinical trial approved. It's called I can't remember. My brain's a little foggy right now. In August, the approval came through, and we went into surgery. They took some fat from my stomach, boo-hoo, took the stem cells, and this is lay speak, in like a centrifuge, whipped it at supersonic speed, extracted my stem cells, cleaned them, divided them, discarded the weak ones, took the strong stem cells into a small amount of that fat that they removed so that that fat was rich with healthy, strong stem cells, and with, for lack of a better term, a turkey baster, my term, injected it into my missing breast, and poof, on the operating table, my breast was back with volume, soft, with full feeling, no scars, no surgery, no foreign objects. I went home. All I had to do was recover. I took painkiller for 1 day, and then the next day I switched to white willow, which is what aspirin's made of, and had very little drug other than the anesthetic. But the great thing is I now have two breasts again, which I had managed to hide all these years. Wasn't traumatized by it, but missed it, but not to the point where it degraded my self-esteem. Now, wow, what a difference to be whole again. So this is a huge, huge advancement. Being the first one, now it's opened the clinical trial. They've already done 110 women based on my clinical trial, and they will do more. When this trial is completed, then they will apply for approval for the procedure, and then it will be covered by insurance. So it's a big deal. And think of what this will mean in the biggest picture. Think about our enlisted people coming home, regrowing limbs. Also, right now, they can regrow heart valves. So clearly, nanotechnology and stem cells are the future. Another thing that came out with this book is David Schmidt, a scientist who has a nanotechnology company. They've developed a guard that you put on your cell phone that will protect you from the electromagnetic rads by 85% using nanotechnology. It's $59, which is a small investment to protect yourself from brain cancer, because the World Health Organization has now concluded that we are getting the worst kind of brain cancer is glioblastoma from electromagnetic rads. So you look at what's happening. We're under the greatest toxic assault in the history of mankind, the environment, our water. We're being bombarded. In this room, we're being bombarded. There's fluoride there's formaldehyde in your carpet. There's electromagnetic rads everywhere. The food that we're eating has pesticides or it's genetically modified. There's no nutrition in genetically modified food. It's also chemicaled with the weed killer from Monsanto. So we're really fighting for our lives right now. And what bombshell is one scientist and doctor after another giving you the information of how you can circumvent this assault that none of us can escape. There's not a single living thing or person on the planet that's not toxic right now. So it was very very exciting to have the time to spend with each one of these incredible people.
It's great. You also list in the book, which I like, some simple things that people can do. Mm-hmm. For instance, the melatonin, which we talked about earlier, and the vitamin D. Why is it so important to take melatonin and vitamin D?
You take them at different times. You take melatonin at night because melatonin is the hormone that we made when we were young. Like when you put a kid to sleep, you don't cross your fingers and hope they'll sleep. They go to sleep. You scratch their back for 2 minutes, and before you've finished the bedtime story, they're out. And they're out for a good 10 hours because from the first 12 years of their life, they're making more melatonin than they'll ever make in your life, their lives. By the time we're 30, we stop making melatonin. We stop making human growth hormone. We start to decline in hormone production. That early, stress is accelerating all of that stress and toxicity. And so melatonin is a very important supplement to take at night. The time release melatonin is the best because it pours in increments the way nature poured your melatonin so that you go to sleep and stay asleep. And you have great dreams on melatonin. Vitamin D3 is absent from almost everybody. The higher up in the northern latitudes, like here in Toronto, you are extremely depleted because were you out in the sun naked today for 20 minutes?
Afraid not. Not for lack of wanting to be.
Early man was out running naked, hunting and gathering, and vitamin D3 wasn't a problem, although they got eaten by, saber-toothed tigers, and that was their stress threat. But even those of us who live in sunny climates, like we live in California and people who live in Arizona, everybody's vitamin D3 depleted, and it has a severe effect on our health. Vitamin D3 supports our cognitive, our brain, supports our cardiovascular, our heart, supports our immune system, and our endocrine system. The major functions of the body are pushed by vitamin D3. So without it, you start that deterioration. Everything about aging is deterioration. I write about restoration versus deterioration. Put it back. I'm not doing this to be beautiful. I'm doing this to keep my insides young. I've been sick once. I don't ever want to be sick again. I'm being proactive about my health. I'm not getting cancer again. If I did, I know what to do. It doesn't scare me anymore. I believe cancer is manageable.
And you talk about in the book also having a healthy sex drive at your age. And,
absolutely.
And what is it? What's behind that?
Balanced hormones gives you the juice. That's what when you were young and reproductive. You were in the mood for sex, and that's because you were making a full and balanced complement of hormones. And then as we decrease in hormones, especially for women, we lose our sex hormones, estrogen and progesterone. Without your sex hormones, you can't even feel sex. So no wonder you're not in the mood, That's why most women say, yeah, whatever, I'd rather have a smoothie. But I hear this over and over again, that a healthy person is a sexual person. You don't feel like having sex if you're exhausted and you're not healthy. So what do you have to do to not be exhausted and be healthy? Part of that is restoring your hormones. Also, one doctor I interviewed in this book, a gynecologist, she said, when women are nursing and they feel all loving and calm and they'll just sit there all day nursing their babies because when they're nursing, they are putting out a hormone called oxytocin. And so this gynecologist said, so many women come in and men who are not in the mood for sex, have lost interest, it's affecting their relationships. She said, I give them the natural bioidentical hormone oxytocin, and it makes them not only be in the mood, but have better orgasms, stronger orgasms, and for men, stronger and longer and more potent erections. So I thought that was a bombshell. That was worth mentioning. There's another one, a simple one, vitamin K2. What kills us is heart disease. That's the big killer. Cancer is right on the heels of it, but heart disease is still number one. Usually it's because of hardening of the arteries. And as we get older, it starts intensifying. Once those arteries are hard, now you're set up for a heart attack or a stroke. So to circumvent heart attack or stroke is so simple. You take vitamin K2, which keeps the arteries pliable so that blood can flow. A simple thing to not have a heart attack is a big, big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I go through the book of why we age, inflammation. You know, you really need to understand inflammation, glycation, methylation, oxidation. Oxidation is essentially the rusting of us, inside of us. Our organs are starting to rust. So I present to you in this book the new kinds of doctors who are understanding how to rejuvenate organs and glands to keep you young on the inside. If you stay young on the inside, it'll manifest on the outside. And the other new kind of doctor I presented in here, and there is a bonus, it's being posted today, a bonus chapter on my website, SuzanneSummers.com, Dr. Rick Sponigal. These are environmental doctors. It's a whole new specialty that never existed before that has arisen out of need. There are people who are so sensitive to these toxins that they can't live anymore. There's one doctor in Dallas, Dr. Bill Ray, who's in this book. By the time they find him, he said they've been to 25 at least other doctors trying to get to the bottom of what is wrong with them. Why can't they breathe? What is wrong with their stomach? Why is their gut all messed up? Why they have chronic sinus? Why is their hair falling out? Why? Sometimes the measures these people have to take are so drastic. Every once in a while, they've got to move out of their house because there's mold. It's a lot of mold now, especially in old buildings, but also in new buildings because of the advent of drywall. Drywall is essentially pressed paper. Guess what mold loves? Pressed paper. You get a leak behind your drywall with the plaster in front of it. The molds have the mold fungus have a field day. Mold leads to Parkinson's, to brain diseases, to a myriad of conditions, and ultimately death. We can't live with mold in our body. It's a fungus. Fungus will eventually take over. It's like cancer is a fungus also.
Wow.
So mold will also can lead to cancer. So isn't it nice to know, if you're one of those people listening today, you can't figure out what's wrong with you. You can't figure out. You walk into a room that's been cleaned with some toxic cleaning agent and you get a migraine headache or you vomit. Or I have a granddaughter who is so allergic. She carries the same gene I do, the HLA gene. And if you are sensitive to toxins, you might have that blood test and ask your doctor, he won't know about it, that you want to have your HLA to see if you carry that gene. And about 50% of us do carry that gene. Some are more sensitive than others.
Right.
My granddaughter can't have dairy, almonds, avocados, gluten, rice.
There was a girl
rice,
in the newsroom just yesterday saying she can't eat cucumber.
Eggs,
she can't have this,
right.
that. And, that
just, and they can't
yeah.
because it's not that they're finicky eaters. If they eat it, like my granddaughter, she had after we all went to bed the night before Thanksgiving, all the kids were in the kitchen and she ate some marshmallows. For 24 hours, she vomited.
Oh,
she had migraines. She was lying on the floor, doubled up. She is allergic to food. So I don't know if she's at this place yet, but she might be where you go to the environmental doctor and you check in for a week or two, whatever your particular needs are, and they put you in a hermetically sealed hotel room that has nothing in it that can be toxic. They detoxify you through IV treatments, and you can get this stuff out of you and save your life, and it literally will save your life. So I think those are bombshells. And there's one after another in this book. The opening interview is with Ray Kurzweil. Ray Kurzweil is the famed futurist. He's at MIT. He was dubbed by Bill Gates as the smartest man on the planet. And he told me that what's coming in the next 13 to 15 years is so hopeful, and that they're already doing it at MIT. They will inject into us, this is nanotechnology, little blood cell-sized robots called nanobots that will roam through our bodies like little detectives. And it will, if it sees arterial plaque, it will vaporize it. If it sees that the islet cells are turned on and that person has diabetes, it'll turn it off. If it sees that the cancer protective genetic switches are turned off, it turns them back on to protect you from cancer. So those diseases are not going to be an issue in the very near future. So I said, what's the catch? He said, you can't limp into it. You have to get there healthy. So that's the incentive. That's why I started with Ray Kurzweil. That's the incentive that every choice you make from this moment on either leads you towards the present paradigm of aging, which is not pretty and usually ends up in a nursing home, or away from it. And it's I realize in writing this book, we are in control of our health and we are in control of how we age. And the choice is up to each one of us to do it.
Suzanne, it's great information, fascinating stuff, good information to get out there. I know Oprah is a big supporter of yours. Mm-hmm. She was just here recently. But you're still getting criticism from mainstream medicine. Mm-hmm. Why are they still coming at you?
I think two reasons. I think it affects business bottom line. When my books came out on bioidentical hormones, the best-selling synthetic pharmaceutical hormone, which was proven by the Women's Health Initiative in 2002 to give us cancer, when my books came out, that particular drug, which was a $20 billion a year drug, dropped by 72%. They are not going to like Suzanne Summers. But we women deserve to get that information, and we deserve to know that there's a natural way to age and restore and have great health.
Absolutely.
The other reason I think that they go after me is I think it's embarrassing to them. They didn't learn anything about hormone replacement in school. They didn't learn anything about nutrition. They do not understand how to deal with toxicity. They are allopathic only. And I explain in this book that the allopathic approach to health started by design around the turn of the century. The two richest families in America, the Carnegies and the Rockefellers, who owned pharmaceutical companies, connect these dots, hired a guy by the name of Abraham Flexner, sent him around to the Institutes of Higher Learning, Johns Hopkins, Mayo Clinic, etc., offering them funding in perpetuity if they would only teach allopathic, meaning here's my symptom, okay, here's the drug for your symptom. And that's how we became a pill for every condition society, whereas it used to be, even when I was a kid, just go home, get plenty of rest, drink lots of fluids. You don't get that. You get an antibiotic you don't need, which has so messed up the guts of everybody by the overuse of antibiotics. Mm-hmm. When you need them, they're a godsend. But the now they can't even keep up with producing stronger and stronger strains of antibiotics because we're all so resistant.
Yeah.
You know, now they're giving us Cipro if you've got an infection. That's for anthrax. What has happened to our systems that we need something like Cipro to get rid of usually they give it for a virus, which is not going to work at all anyway, but for an infection.
Yeah.
So I think that when someone's out there rattling the cage, disturbing business bottom line, and messing with whatever that club is, I'm an outsider, I think they attack to protect themselves.
Absolutely.
But I'll tell you something, the women and the people are catching on. I've sold 25 million books around the world. That means somebody out there is going, I agree, I'm not feeling well. I am worried about the chemicals. I do wish I had my hormones back. I used to feel better in my 30s than I feel now. Why do so many people have cancer? Why can't we live long like our grandparents did and then one night die peacefully in our sleep? Why do we have to have these long, drawn-out, expensive, horrific deaths?
Absolutely.
It costs about $250,000 to die now, all pilled up and wired up, and then if that doesn't do it, then they put you in some home where you don't even know who you are anymore. I don't find that acceptable, and so Bombshell is going to tell you how to change that paradigm and make your life one of quality and health.
Fantastic. Thank you, Suzanne. Just great information. A couple of last questions before you go. You've just written a book, but what books are you personally reading right now?
I read health books. I just ordered 50 Shades of Grey because everybody I know is reading that, and I ordered all three. And I don't know when I'll get to read that, but when you look at my iPad and everything I've ordered, which I haven't read yet, it's science and health. I'm so interested in. So I'm kind of excited about 50 Shades of Grey over here. I was reading about the coconut benefits of coconut oil, coconut meat, the how to lose weight, having coconut oil every day. Coconut is really interesting me these days. So, you know, what I'm doing now was not my choice. I think these things choose you.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you ever think when you were playing Chrissy on Three's Company that your life would take this path?
No, never. And I think that's why it's organic and right, because it just happened out of passion of, you know, I'd hear some information. I'd go, what's that? The fact that it comes to me now that these amazing minds call me to, because they want to get their message out, I'm now really choosy and picky about who I put in my books, and a lot of people get turned down and don't make it. And,
yeah.
But I have an obligation to my reader now. My readers usually buy my books just knowing it's coming out before they even know what it is. And I never want to rip off my reader. So I really work hard on these books. I write every word myself and don't turn it into my – this book I finished literally, what do you think, a month ago? A month ago, my editor's going, you have to show me something. I go, I don't want to send it to you until I get it just the way I want it. And I don't want you to do any writing. I just want you to see if it's redundant and make sure I don't, you know, spell things wrong. But, just, you know, stay out of my way. And I've got a great editor who does.
Excellent.
But this one was quite a push because there was so much information. I could write another bombshell book now. There's a lot I couldn't even put in there.
Yeah.
Very empowering to know this stuff about yourself. Very empowering to understand how your body works.
Yep.
I sometimes ask people, do you know where your liver is? Nobody knows where their liver is. And the liver is right here. And I asked Alan last year, my husband, for Christmas. Most women want, you know, diamonds. I wanted a university body model that I could sit on my desk made of plastic where I can pull all the organs out and pull the head apart and see how the whole cranium works and where the thymus and the thyroid are and the intestines. I love this. It's the greatest toy I've ever had. But I'm looking at it one day and I thought, no wonder everybody's got such indigestion, because you take in your food. If you don't chew your food, and they say chew your solids to their liquid.
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't chew your food right here between your breasts, it's got to take a sharp right turn. And then all these little muscles, you know, start pushing it along to push it down there. Well, if you haven't chewed it and you had a big old piece of chicken right here, and then you wonder why you're bloated, you know, your stomach, your abdomen's all distended because the little muscles in there going, I'm trying. So this is a lot of work here. I got to get this out of here. So
that's
been very empowering for me to know
great,
where the body parts
gift.
Are. It's a great gift. Now you can get me the diamonds, Alan.
Yeah, I know we have to wrap up, but one last question. Since we are doing this thing on violence against women, I know you've experienced some violence in your own life. Do you think that we've come a long way in preventing violence against women, or do you feel it's gotten really worse in the last few years?
I don't have the stats on that. I just know that when you're living in an abusive home, nobody on the outside knows what's going on. That's why I called my first book Keeping Secrets. The big secret for me was what went on every night in our house. It's not right to have to hide in a closet every night. It's not right to see the kind of abuse and watch your mother get hit or you get hit or you hit him. I mean, so often in our home, the violence was us against him of, I think you get to a point of no more. And so some children, some women are able to survive, some don't. Out of our family, my brother and sister and I survived. My younger brother didn't. It's the makeup. It made me mad as hell. I wasn't going to take it anymore. My younger brother, Michael, just retreated into himself and stopped talking. He just didn't talk. People thought he was retarded. He was not. He just was so horribly abused. So I think talking about it allows someone who's been keeping their secret to come out and say, me too, and ask for help. You can't expect a child in school to ask for help. They keep their secret. And if you ask them, they won't say anything. If you ask them again, they won't say anything. Maybe the 20th time you ask them, they might say, yeah. No one ever asked me. I just was always chastised for, why don't you do your homework? And, you know, and what are you going to say?
But you're a survivor. You're a fighter.
I am a survivor. And I think what you survive makes you stronger. And so it allows me to take all the flack I get from the business community about, you know, you're not a doctor. And I go, I'm not a doctor. I'm a passionate layperson who is trying to do something good with her life.
Fantastic. Thank you, Suzanne. Thanks for coming in again. Always
Thank
a pleasure.
You too. You too.